This is Washington Watch with Tony Perkins, your daily voice in Washington, D.C. on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. And now, here's your host, Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to this Monday edition of Washington Watch. Coming up this morning, a terror attack in New York City's subway. A pipe bomb explosion wounded three people. The man believed to be behind the pipe bombing is a Bangladesh native who has lived in the U.S. for just over 6 years. Now, listen, he came to the U.S. on the chain migration program. Now, keep that in mind. Some are claiming the attack is related to President Trump's announcement that the U.S. would move its Israeli embassy to Jerusalem. I was at the White House today, and that was a part of our discussion with the president. I'll talk more about that later. Florida Congressman Ron DeSantis will be here to discuss this latest terrorist attack, immigration policy, and the connection that this attack may or may not have had with Israel. Also, a federal judge today denies the Pentagon's bid to delay the January 1st deadline to accept transgendered recruits. Our own Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin will be here with the latest on that story. And, of course, we'll be taking your phone calls here on Washington Watch this afternoon. Let me remind you, our year-end donor drive to support Washington Watch continues. Because of a generous donor, all gifts will be doubled. You can give us a call, 800-225-4008, anytime during this program, 800-225-4008. We have folks standing by to take your phone calls and your support. Remember, this program only happens because of you, partners like you all across the nation, 800-225-4008. If you're on Twitter, you can keep up with me, at T. Perkins, get my daily tweets, and check out the website, TonyPerkins.com. Okay, a terrorist detonated a pipe bomb strapped to his body in a subway passage between Times Square and the Port Authority bus terminal. I've been in that area many, many times. One of the busiest transit hubs in the world. Now, it happened during this morning's rush hour, injuring three people and causing commuter chaos. Officials say the blast caused minor physical injuries. With us now is Congressman Ron DeSantis. He represents the 6th Congressional District of Florida, chairman of the National Security Subcommittee, and also a member of the Foreign Affairs Committee and co-founder of the Israel Victory Caucus. Congressman, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Hey, great to be here.
Well, several things I want to talk with you about. But obviously, first, this breaking news with this terrorist attack in New York. Now, you were with the president, actually, with his rally in Pensacola this past weekend. I think it was on Friday. The president made reference to this chain migration issue. Is that a factor when we talk about national security?
Well, I think without question. I mean, when you look at these types of attacks, if you have an individual that is willing to be a suicide attacker, it's very difficult to prevent that. There are times when those are prevented, but really, once those individuals are here, if they don't care what happens to them, then they can conduct these types of attacks. Now, obviously, this one wasn't as effective as it could have been, and we thank God for that. But
right,
of course, the immigration is something that we have to look at. It's much easier to fight terrorism if you keep people who are of that bent from coming here in the first place. Once people are here, and I think Europe has seen this tenfold to what we have, you have these areas that are basically breeding grounds for terrorists, and these are people who reject the society's values in which they operate and are basically at war with everybody that doesn't submit to their ideology. So I think the president's right. I think he's hit a chord on that, and I think that we've got to tighten this up. The chain migration, you have a merit-based migration system. You can have people from all over the world. You have people from various faiths. These are people who buy into American ideas and want to come because America's America. Well, with chain migration, you may have one person that thinks that, but how do we know their cousin thinks that? Or how do we know that cousin's cousin thinks that? It ends up bringing people in who may not necessarily be doing good things for the country.
Yeah, Congressman, it sounds like based on what I have seen and read and heard so far on this incident in New York, that this is more about our immigration policy than our foreign policy on Israel, as some were trying to connect this with the president's announcement last week on moving the embassy to Jerusalem.
Yeah, well, look, Tony, I think in almost any instance in which Israel's invoked by militant Islamic terrorists, it's almost always as a pretext anyways. In other words, they would still want to commit the same atrocities, even if we didn't move the embassy or even if we didn't even support Israel. So I think a lot of times it's just a convenient thing. And I don't even know that this is what this individual is saying. But I've actually been struck. I mean, I was one of the leading advocates for moving the embassy and recognizing Jerusalem. But everyone right. was saying that the world was going to be on fire, and that really hasn't happened. And I think that that's a tribute to the president's leadership in making that call.
Without question. In fact, I was in the Oval Office earlier today, and this was discussed, and the president said the same thing. Everybody was saying that the world was going to implode if we moved the embassy. And so for 22 years, even though it was our stated law, we wouldn't do it. And it's been surprisingly quiet, except for a few staged events that have occurred in certain parts of Israel. And to your point, Congressman DeSantis, you actually held a hearing about 3 or 4 weeks ago in your subcommittee regarding this move of the embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem.
That's right. And we were hoping that the president would announce the move in May when he went to Israel. He'd signed the waiver, basically punting the issue for 6 months. And so what I wanted to do is keep the issue on the front burner. We had a great panel of witnesses. The whole hearing room was packed to capacity, so you could tell it was an issue that struck a chord with a lot of people. But I really believe that the president had the instincts to do the right thing. I think he had some advisors around him that were telling him not to do it. And just like the Iran deal, where he certified it, then he got upset at his advisors. Why am I certifying this again? And then finally, the third time, he's like, I am not certifying it. This is not a good deal. You guys got to give me a plan to move forward. I thought we were going to see the same thing with this, where his advisors told him, oh, you got to sign the waiver, you got to sign the waiver. But then he was going to eventually say, wait a minute, I promised this. This is the right thing to do. You guys got to figure out what we need to do to get this done. And that's, to his great credit, that's what he did this time. The recognition is really the most important thing. I want the embassy obviously located there, but the reason you want the embassy there is because it recognizes Jerusalem. So I think it was one of the most significant foreign policy declarations that American presidents made in quite some time. And I think it's good for Israel. I think it's good for us. I think it's good for the president beyond Israel, because I think people that take his measure in other foreign capitals are looking at him and saying, you know what? This guy means what he says, and this is a guy that we got to contend with. So I think his prestige has increased internationally, and I think the respect that countries, even if the countries didn't like the decision he made, I think that they respect the fact that he stuck to his guns.
Congressman DeSantis, I could not agree with you more. I think it puts America in a position of strength when we're now talking about our foreign policy. The president today making, as we were discussing this announcement, that he said, look, this takes Jerusalem off the table in terms of negotiating. And I think it makes, this is the president saying, that he thinks it makes it much easier to negotiate a peace solution with Jerusalem off the table. So I think that's one factor. But the point that you made as well, I think it strengthens this president's hand, because he's the first president in a long time that does not draw red lines in erasable ink.
That's right. And the thing is in the Arab world in particular, they respect a strong horse. And when you make promises and then don't follow through with it because you're worried about blowback in the Arab world, that is actually counterproductive to dealing with a lot of those countries. And so acting against what maybe Saudi Arabia or some of these countries would have ideally wanted was actually the way to show that you're a strong horse. I think those Arab countries respect the president even more. And when you're talking about working with them to fight Iran and put them back in the box, that is really what they want from the United States. And that's why they're really willing to work with Israel. So I think the specter of Iranian hegemony in the region, and the fact that this was the 50th anniversary of the Six-Day War and the reunification of Jerusalem, to me, all the incentives were converging on make the move now, because there's never going to be a better time to do it vis-a-vis some of our Arab allies, given that they need the United States so much to deal with the fallout from Obama's disastrous nuclear deal with Iran.
Excellent points. You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. Glad to have you with us on this Monday afternoon. Congressman Ron DeSantis of Florida My guest, he is the chairman of the National Security Subcommittee, member of the Foreign Affairs Committee, and co-founder of the Israel Victory Caucus. Congressman DeSantis, I want to go back to this issue of immigration, given this terrorist attack that we've seen in New York. In fact, I got a very short clip, just so people know that it's not us saying it's a terrorist attack. I mean, it's clear, it's evident, but the commissioner, New York Police Commissioner, I've got a short clip from a press conference he did earlier today. Let's play that clip.
Police were called to a reported explosion. Responding units found an injured 27-year-old male. We've identified him as Ikayed Ullah, AKAYEDULLAH. He had burns and wounds to his body. Preliminary investigation at the scene indicates this male was wearing an improvised low-tech explosive device attached to his body. He intentionally detonated that device.
I mean, they found him. He had the pipe bomb strapped to him, wires protruding from his pants, and he was trying to call on a cell phone when they got him. Is this going to provide further fuel for dealing with the immigration issue, which, you know, the president's been hammering it. Congress hasn't gotten there yet. We're talking about stemming the flow, the wall, security. Is this going to provide further fuel for that?
I think it might. I mean, you've already seen this since this president took office. There's much greater consensus on this issue than there had ever been before. I mean, Mitch McConnell, Senate Majority Leader, the quintessential establishment Republican, he recently came out and said we need to end chain migration. That is not a position that a lot of senators at that level have taken in the past in either the Republican or Democrat parties. So I think that the president has helped shift the terms of debate. And I think when you look at something like chain migration, I think it's really hard to justify why we need that in the United States. And the American public, by the way, they generally oppose chain migration and would like to see it limited to nuclear families. So I think now's a good time to do it. What we have to be weary of is anytime you talk about immigration, then somehow everyone says, or a certain segment says, oh, we need a comprehensive solution. We need to do amnesty. We need to do all these other things. What's wrong with just taking on chain migration and dealing with that on the merits? Is it good for the country or not? If it's not, let's reform and move on.
Yeah, absolutely. One final question before I let you go, Congressman DeSantis. Obviously, the tax reform, the conference committee between the House and the Senate, are you anticipating they're going to come to a solid agreement and we're going to get tax reform before Christmas? Yes. Oh, man, that must have been a tough question. Sorry, folks, we lost him, but we'll try to get him back. Look, okay. Are you there, Congressman? Did you hear my question?
Yeah, so basically, I think we will come to agreement, but if we don't, then I think the fallback will that the House will just pass the Senate bill. There's no way we're going to go by the end of the year without getting a positive result one way or another. So I think the Senate bill was better for individual taxpayers. I think the House bill was better for the business side. Maybe if we can take the best of both of those, I think we'd have a product that people can be proud of.
Well, I do hope we get it across the line. Congressman Ron DeSantis, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you. Have a good one.
All right. All right, folks. Don't go away. More Washington Watch to come. I'm going to tell you about my visit at the White House today with the president and vice president. But also coming up next, Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin, retired executive vice president here at the Family Research Council, joins me to talk about a judge's declining of the government's request to stay the implementation of the transgender policy. Don't go away.
This Christmas season, give with purpose and meaning, a gift that protects life, marriage, and religious liberty. At Family Research Council, our mission is to promote these three core values in public policy and the culture from a Christian worldview. We are working to ensure that our religious liberty is defended in the public square, that human life at all stages is protected, and that family values are promoted in our country's public policies. Your giving can make an eternal difference for your community and for our future generations. And if you give between now and December 31st to Family Research Council, your gift will be matched, meaning it will be doubled by a generous donor. And any donation is tax deductible. Give with purpose this Christmas season. Text FRC to 444-999. Again, that is text FRC to 444-999. Thank you for standing with us. FRC wishes you and your family a Merry Christmas and a blessed New Year. Having a hard time finding that right gift for your family and friends? Need some ideas? Check out Family Research Council's online store and browse the latest books, mugs, trendy t-shirts, baby bibs, tote bags, and more. Your purchase of these items will support FRC and our mission to advance faith, family, and freedom in public policy and the culture from a Christian worldview. Some of our exclusive items include a unique in-house design DC t-shirt featuring a skyline of the monuments in our nation's capital, a cute baby bib with some pro-life flair, and a stylish tote bag with a Bible verse from 1 John 4:19 that says, "We love because He first loved us." Go to frc.org/store now to start shopping. Again, that is frc.org/store. Thank you for standing with us. FRC wishes you and your family a very Merry Christmas and a blessed New Year.
Is being right enough to win an election? Many tend to believe that being right, in the sense of being factually correct, is sufficient to win in politics. Unfortunately, political history proves otherwise. The candidate who organizes and communicates the best will beat the opposition, no matter how right the other side is. Christians who are running for public office have a moral obligation to study and learn how to win. They must discover the real nature of politics. Robert Arnakis knows how to win. As senior director for the Leadership Institute, the nation's premier public policy training organization, he has 15 years of grassroots organizing, campaign, fundraising, and communications experience, and has established himself as one of the country's top political trainers. Here, Mr. Arnakis discusses the real nature of politics and how to overcome the odds to win an election. Go to frc.org/speakers to view this timely discussion.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. Merry Christmas. Yes, you can say Merry Christmas again. You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it is at T Perkins. All right, we continue our conversation about the attack in New York City, as well as discussing a federal judge that denied the Pentagon's bid to delay the January 1st deadline that forces the military to accept transgendered recruits. Joining us now, Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin. He serves as the Executive Vice President here at the Family Research Council. He was one of the original members of the U.S. Army's Delta Force and commanded all of the Army's Green Berets, as well as the Special Warfare Center and School. General, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Thank you very much, Tony. Glad to be with you.
All right. We just had Congressman Ron DeSantis on talking about this. We know quite a bit now this afternoon about the 27-year-old subject who came here 6 years ago from Bangladesh on chain migration. The surveillance video shows the bomb exploding. It shows it's not a very sophisticated effort, a pipe bomb that wasn't very effectively made. What else do we know right now?
Well, we don't know a lot about him. The reports are that he has professed no actual connection to ISIS, and up to this point, ISIS hasn't really claimed credit for his actions there. But I think that the key here is that he was inspired by the theology of ISIS, and even those who have refused in the past to talk about the theology of ISIS, I think, are now recognizing that that theology extends beyond the borders of Syria and Iraq. It is a real factor in these suicide attacks.
Yeah, we lost there. We lost the general there for a minute. He was fading out on us. When you look at these pipe bombs, actually, you can go on the internet and you can get instructions on how to put these things together. Now, we know that this 27-year-old male made multiple trips abroad. I think we got the general back. General, we got you back?
Yeah, I'm back. Okay. I don't know if I fat-fingered a phone or what. Anyhow,
let's talk about the sophistication of this device.
It was very unsophisticated. It was something that he could have literally gone on the internet and come up with the technology to be able to do it. I think one of the things that will be interesting is when they do the forensics and they make a determination as to what he used as an explosive and potentially where that came from. You see, they keep calling this guy, you know, the typical lone wolf, but I don't believe that for 1 minute, because suicide bombing is the ultimate terrorist attack. And I hardly believe that this guy just went on the internet and became so radicalized he was ready to go and blow himself up and kill a bunch of people. I think that he did have contact with people. It may have been in a mosque in New York. It could have been, you know, a circle of friends that are sympathetic to or even part of the terror network. But I think that the guy was influenced by more than just the internet. But he probably figured out how to build this pipe bomb, which is readily available on the internet.
Well, let me ask you this question. When you look at the fact that it was not very well, from what we know, it was either prematurely detonated, was not well made. He certainly didn't execute properly in terms of his goal. But it looks like, had he had a proper device, this could have been a very significant terrorist attack that would have slipped by authorities.
Well, yeah. Remember back, I think it was 2006, when the a terrorist with a suicide bomb went into the subway in London. That was an awful attack. I mean, that that was a very serious attack to kill people. And this could have been, let me tell you, especially in New York, in that time of the morning, 7:20 in the morning, this could have been devastating, because there were just thousands of people within probably the blast range of that. And then, who knows, when people start scrambling to get out of there, you know, there is always a danger of a crowd trying to get out of an enclosed space and some, you know, people going over each other and killing each other. So it was a perfect place for him to try this. And I think that we're just very fortunate that he was a lousy bomb maker.
So what is this, General, what does this tell us about our current security situation here in the United States?
Well, it leaves you wondering. Again, I think that the guy had some connection to other terrorists. But look, this, I will say this. A guy like this is probably virtually impossible to stop unless your network of informants is so broad and so deeply embedded in the Islamic communities. Remember, this guy was a Bangladeshi. Bangladesh is the fourth largest Muslim population in the world. And unless you are deeply ingrained with confidential informants in those communities and all, you're not going to pick up on something like this and stop this guy. This is hard to stop.
So it goes back to the issue of how do they get here, and this particular individual, chain migration, sounds like our immigration policy needs to be front and center in this discussion. General, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon.
Glad to be with you.
All right, folks, up against the break. When we come back, actually, I didn't get to the general to talk to him about the issue with the courts. I'm going to talk about that when we get back because it's a significant issue. A federal judge today declining a request by the federal government to stay an order to implement, beginning January 1st, a program that requires the government to recruit transgendered individuals. The president, you know, several months ago, stating that this was incompatible with his policy of putting America first and strong defense. Well, you've got a federal judge who thinks she knows better how to run our military than the commander-in-chief. All right, we're going to talk about that. We're going to be taking your phone calls as well when we return here on Washington Watch. All right, check out the website, TonyPerkins.com. Also, operator standing by, 800-225-4008, 800-225-4008, the partner with Washington Watch. Don't go away.
Spend a semester in Washington, D.C. with Family Research Council through our internship program. You will get a chance to experience the rich history and culture of our nation's capital and be immersed in the most important political debates of our day by working to advance family values in a professional work environment under the oversight and mentorship of FRC experts and scholars. The internship program includes free housing just a block away from Capitol Hill and the Supreme Court, as well as a paid stipend. Learn more at frc.org/internships.
Is being right enough to win an election? Political history proves otherwise. The candidate who organizes and communicates the best will beat the opposition, no matter how right the other side is. Christians who are running for public office have a moral obligation to study and learn how to win. They must discover the real nature of politics. Robert Ornakis is one of the country's top political trainers. Hear him discuss the real nature of politics and how to overcome the odds to win an election at frc.org/speakers. The Family Research Council had the pleasure of hosting Dr. Michael Paulson to speak about how Christians can respond to arguments against religious liberty. Dr. Paulson argues that religion is different and deems exemptions within the law. A religious person believes in God, and God's sovereignty requires complete devotion, whereas government only requires allegiance and civil duties. The Constitution itself treats religion differently, giving America religious liberty and the freedom to exercise. Visit frc.org/university to hear more about this issue.
If you had to make a law, where would you start? America's founding fathers determined law from a fixed source, God, but culture has shifted the focus to man's self-determined law. If truth is no longer determined by God, it becomes subjective and open to interpretation. In an incisive new paper, Peter Johnston traces the origins of these dangerous trends in American law and the importance of staying true to our founding principles. To view FRC's new publication, go to frc.org/decay.
This is Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. Website, TonyPerkins.com, if you're on Twitter, at T Perkins. All right. Today, a district court judge denied the Department of Justice's request to stay a previous order that she had issued that requires the Department of Defense and Homeland Security to start accepting transgender recruits by January 1st. So the idea was this. The court, they've appealed. Someone filed suit against the president. The president changed his policy, said, look, we're not going to continue the policy of Barack Obama. It's not helpful to the defense, military leaders. It's going to be costly. Not only is it going to use up scarce resources. I mean, the projected cost of this, about $4 billion over a 10-year period. That's enough to pay for a Navy destroyer. It could fund, I don't know, a couple of dozen fighter jets. And so the president said, you know what, this doesn't make any sense. Why would we do this? So he says, we're stopping it. Well, you get some, lefties out there who have a sense of entitlement that, you know, because Barack Obama unilaterally changed these policies. This didn't go through Congress, folks. This was the Obama regime. They unilaterally changed it and put this in place with a deadline of July 1st, they're being able to serve openly, and then a recruiting and all that other stuff. It was like three steps. The president said, no, we're not doing this. It's not conducive to the military's mission to fight and win wars. I mean, it's not, unless you're talking about fighting culture wars, which was what about the only war President Obama could fight. And so the lefties filed suit against President Trump. They get a liberal judge. She says, U.S. District Judge Colleen Collar Cotelli. I guess that's how she says her name. She's here in the District of Columbia. And so she ruled against the administration. So the administration went back and sought a stay on the implementation of her decision, at least until this went all the way through the court process because they appealed her decision. Well, she said no. The Department of Justice, on behalf of the Trump administration, has also appealed for a stay to the entire, or to a, I think, a three-page three-judge panel of the D.C. Circuit. So we'll see what happens there. It's going to go all the way to the Supreme Court. I mean, after all, the president. Now, by the way, she is a Clinton appointee. She was appointed by Clinton. She also, by the way, it was interesting. I was doing some background look on her. She was I think for about six years, she served. Actually, 7 years, from 2002 to 2009, she was the presiding judge of the FISA court. That's that controversial secret court, the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court. That's where they do the government goes and gets warrants, secret warrants, to spy on Americans, so on and so forth. So anyway, this could go all the way to the Supreme Court, because this really is an issue of, does the commander-in-chief, the president of the United States, know more about what, A, the military's mission is, and B, how they can accomplish it, or a politically appointed and driven judge? It's pretty obvious to me the Constitution invest that authority into the president, not a district court judge. So this is going to be very interesting to watch. All right, I did want to talk a little bit, and we're going to take some phone calls here in a minute. I'll tell you what we're going to talk about, because in the at the White House today, in a meeting with the president, there was about 20 evangelical leaders. We met with the president, prayed with the president, discussed the move of the embassy to the United States Embassy in Israel to Jerusalem. That was prominently discussed. We talked about a number of things that the president has done in this first year. Religious liberty, the executive order on religious liberty. We look at the appointment of Neil Gorsuch to the court. We discussed his pulling America out of the Paris Climate Accord, which liberal bad policy. Talked about his ending of these social engineering programs from the Obama administration. But here was the underlying message, and I made this point at a press conference outside the White House after our meeting, that this president is an anomaly, politically speaking, because he keeps his promises. And that's why, overwhelmingly, not that they, evangelicals agree with him on everything or his past or things that he's done or said or all of his tweets, but one thing he has done, he has kept his promises. And I challenge you to find another politician at that level that has consistently kept their promises to the people who put them in office. So here's what I want to talk about when we come back. Do you think this president has kept his promises? Do you think President Trump has kept the promises that he made on the campaign trail? What kind of grade would you give him as we come now to the end of the year, 11 months into his administration? How's he doing? A, B, C, D? What do you think? A plus, B plus? I want to hear from you when we come back. 866-372-7234. We're going straight to the phones when we come back from this break. In the meantime, check out the website, TonyPerkins.com. We'll be back. Don't go away. More Washington Watch still to come.
Are you interested in making a real impact in public policy and culture? And are you looking for an internship experience at a Christian organization in the heart of our nation's capital? If the answer is yes, spend a semester in Washington, D.C. with Family Research Council through our internship program. You will get a chance to experience our country's rich history and culture and be immersed in the most important political debates of our day. Further, you will develop the skills required to advance faith, family, and freedom in our nation. Family Research Council's internship program includes free housing just a block away from Capitol Hill and the Supreme Court, as well as a paid stipend. As an intern, you will gain an invaluable public policy experience in a professional work environment under the oversight and mentorship of FRC experts and scholars. Learn more about the FRC internship program at frc.org/internships. Again, that is frc.org/internships.
Having a hard time finding that right gift for your family and friends? Need some ideas? Check out Family Research Council's online store and browse the latest books, mugs, trendy t-shirts, baby bibs, tote bags, and more. Your purchase of these items will support FRC and our mission to advance faith, family, and freedom in public policy and the culture from a Christian worldview. Some of our exclusive items include a unique in-house design DC t-shirt featuring a skyline of the monuments in our nation's capital, a cute baby bib with some pro-life flair, and a stylish tote bag with a Bible verse from 1 John 4:19 that says, "We love because He first loved us." Go to frc.org/store now to start shopping. Again, that is frc.org/store. Thank you for standing with us. FRC wishes you and your family a very Merry Christmas and a blessed New Year.
If you had to make a law, where would you start? America's founding fathers determined law from a fixed source, God, but culture has shifted the focus to man's self-determined law. If truth is no longer determined by God, it becomes subjective and open to interpretation. In an incisive new paper, Peter Johnston traces the origins of these dangerous trends in American law and the importance of staying true to our founding principles. To view FRC's new publication, go to frc.org/decay.
The Family Research Council had the pleasure of hosting Dr. Michael Paulson to speak about how Christians can respond to arguments against religious liberty. Dr. Paulson argues that religion is different and deems exemptions within the law. A religious person believes in God, and God's sovereignty requires complete devotion, whereas government only requires allegiance and civil duties. The Constitution itself treats religion differently, giving America religious liberty and the freedom to exercise. Visit frc.org/university to hear more about this issue.
City sidewalks, busy sidewalks, dressed in holiday style. In the air, there's a feeling of Christmas.
That's the Dean Martin version. Welcome back to Washington Watch. Merry Christmas. Yes, and we actually said that in the Oval Office. Merry Christmas. And prayed with the president. 866-372-7234, the number to call to get in on the conversation this afternoon. How do you rate the president in terms of accomplishing his promises? Promises made? Are they promises kept? What do you say? How do you grade the president as we move to at least the first calendar year, 11 months, just about 11 months into his administration? I have to say, I personally I'll never be obviously completely satisfied. I mean, you can't. I would never tell the president, "Look, you could coast from here," but I will tell you what he is doing is something that has not been done before in my lifetime, where you have a president who continues to pursue the promises that he made, and as a result, he is building the strength and momentum of his base. Now, most politicians say, well, what I need to do now is I need to broaden. I need to go to the middle, and I'll get more support that way. What happens, they lose their base of support. The numbers show, and you show. That's one of the reasons I do this, is because the president's support is as, if not more solid than it was when he got 82% of the evangelical vote a little over a year ago. 866-372-7234. We're going to Delaware, Oklahoma, where Bud is on the line. Bud, welcome to Washington Watch.
Oh, thanks, Tony. Hey, I just want to say, man, top of the world to you for all that you do, and may God's blessings be all over AFR and all over you for all the good stuff that you do. I got to give the president a grade of an F for his ability to keep his promises, because the F to me stands for fantastic. He has done a fantastic job keeping his promises as far as the rest of the people have allowed him to do. He would do more if he was able to, but he can't.
I like that, Bud. An F for fantastic. It's... Like I said, as I mentioned a moment ago, we did a press conference right outside the West Wing this afternoon, and I said, look, this president is an anomaly. And I paused because he is a politician who's kept his promises. And that is an anomaly for many, many. And I don't want to be careful here. I don't want to paint with a broad brush every politician. There's some great men and women in Congress. But from the standpoint of those that have sat in that office there. Now, some would argue that Barack Obama kept his policies and promises to radically transform America, which he did, but he lied on so many things, like, you know, his support for natural marriage, his view of life. I mean, he lied on the campaign trail and changed those positions. This president has remained committed to the promises that he made. Bud, thank you so much for those kind comments, and thanks for listening, and Merry Christmas. Let's go to Joe in Columbus, Ohio. Joe, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I think Bud just gave the Washington Post and Fake News the lead story for tomorrow. Caller from Oklahoma gives Trump an F, and then they won't repeat the
You know, but Joe, you're probably right. I mean, that's the fake news. The president even talked about that in our conversation in the Oval Office today. The fake news, and
I think I would give him an A minus. I give the rest of Congress and the people that have promised to repeal Obamacare since 2010. I would give them a D minus. I think the only he's not a career politician, and I think he's done great with what he's had to work with, you know, fighting the swamp, the Republican establishment, the Democratic establishment, the fake news media. He's done a great job. Just getting Gorsuch in was a home run, and that alone was a high grade, and hopefully we'll get another conservative Supreme Court justice in. But I would give him an A-minus, and I'd give the Freedom Caucus probably a B+, and then probably a few other, Louie Gohmert and Ted Cruz and a few of the other ones high grades, but the rest of Congress, the McCains and the Murkowskis and the other ones, probably a D-. So I'm happy, and like I said, if we can get the only mistake, I think, was, like I said, it comes from not being a career politician, was putting Sessions in, and Sessions reclused himself. I would have liked, that's 2020 hindsight, definitely he would have done something different there, had he, had, the better advisors around him, maybe.
Good point, Joe. In fact,
nitpick, I mean, compared to what we had for the last 8 to 12 years, I think I'm cautiously optimistic, and we can get hopefully get a conservative like Roy Moore in and replace the rhino in Tennessee with Marsha Blackburn, and replace the rhino in Arizona and Susan Collins and Murkowski, right on down the line. Roy Moore, I think, is the first step to taking our country back one seat at a time. It didn't go downhill overnight. You're not going to just change the drive on the bus and expect. I mean, Trump is one person against a swamp and an establishment and a fake news media that's got a liberal agenda. So the right. Christian conservatives have got to stick together.
The key to that, Joe, is that they got to stay engaged. And that's one of the things that does concern me a bit, is that we see, all right, we won the election. We got this thing, we got it fixed. We got the president in there. We did our part. No, this is maintaining a republic like ours, and preserving the constitutional freedoms that we enjoy requires vigilance 24/7. And it's eternal vigilance. I mean, we cannot. I mean, this is a part of having a republic. A part of a republic, and a constitutional republic, is perpetual engagement by the citizens. We can't just, like, every 4 years go into the voting booth and vote. This is why, folks, listeners to Washington Watch, evangelicals, those 82% of evangelicals, their impact is outsized from their actual percentage of the population. Voting population, about, I'm going to say, roughly a quarter, a little bit bigger depending on what survey you look at. The point is, if we engage as we should, being that we have a constitutional republic, and add to that Christian citizens, render unto Caesar that which is Caesar. That means your participation, your engagement. When we do just what we're supposed to do, we actually do a lot more than most. And we're rewarded by the effect that our engagement and participation has, i.e. this election. So to that point, I mean, we can't back out now. I mean, we've got these midterm elections. We've got to stay engaged and replace those who are not just opposing the president, but who are just opposing you, who fail to adhere to the Constitution and support and defend the Constitution, those who are weak-kneed, you know, those spineless politicians who are afraid to take a stand. I replace them. And look, I'm not talking about just Congress. Could be your local school board. Do you have a school board that has surrendered, capitulated to the you know, some radical fringe that wants to open up the doors of the bathrooms and showers and locker rooms to anybody and everybody, putting your children at risk? Do you have a school board like that? Maybe it's time you run for the school board. What are the policies of your city council, your county commission? Do you need to run for that seat? What about the state legislature? Do you have champions? I'm not talking about just good votes. That was one of the things that really frustrated me when I ran for office originally. I couldn't get anybody to support me. I mean, it took me a couple months to convince my wife to vote for me. Just kidding. She was very much on board. But the fact is, well, we don't want – because I was running against a 20-year political veteran, okay? And people said, well, he votes right. Yeah, but behind the scenes, he was working to kill everything that pro-lifers and conservatives wanted. But when he was forced to, he would vote the right way because that reflected the district. Do you have a vote or do you have a champion? The times in which we live, the shortness of the time requires that we have champions. All right, I got to get off my soapbox here. I got to get back to the phones. All right, 866-372-7234. Let's go to Eric in Springfield, Missouri. Eric, welcome.
Hey, Tony. Hey, I just wanted to say, I give the president an A. I think he's done an outstanding job, like you said, as far as keeping his promises. I didn't want to vote for him. I didn't really want him in office, but I didn't want the other party in office anymore. And I did what Obama said. You know, he said, if you don't like who you got in office, then vote. And I did.
Okay. Hey, hold on, Eric, because I want to ask you this question. Based on that, because I agree with you, and I think a lot of people were in that same position. So given the fact that you did not support him to begin with because he was not someone who lined up with your values, and I'm assuming based on what you said that's the case, right where we stand now, are you surprised with how this president has done in terms of following through and upholding those values that you care about?
Not really. You know, I mean, you know, even though he isn't the type of person that I would support for president, I do think he's an honest man as far as, you know, saying, you know, he was against Obama well before he ever even thought about running for president, and for good reason, you know. And he was saying things that nobody wanted to hear, and he was right. You know, he was 100% right about him the whole time. So, you know, and just one more question, though. As far as the transgender thing, and you know, if the president has control over, you know, the army, then why do we even have to ask this judge?
He didn't ask the judge. I have to go back and look into who it was that filed the lawsuit against the administration's policy, taking it into court, and then the judge ruled against the president. And we'll unpack this more because we got a couple of things this week we got to focus on heavily. This is one of them because it could probably have to be addressed legislatively. So that means Congress is going to have to act before the end of the year to fix this. Also, we've got the tax reform bill and conversations on Capitol Hill and even at the White House today. The president, again, talking about the Johnson Amendment, which was the provision by Lyndon Johnson put in the tax code that silences churches and nonprofits. So that's got to be addressed before Congress leaves town. So, folks, we've got to focus heavily on that this week. Eric, thanks so much for the call. Appreciate you're listening. Let's work in another call or two. Let's go to Baton Rouge, where Ricky is on the line. Ricky, welcome to Washington Watch. Go ahead, Ricky. Do we have Ricky? Okay, well, let's go to Jackie in Memphis, Tennessee. Welcome, Jackie.
Hi, Tony. Hi there.
How are you?
I called a few months ago. I'm great, thank you, and I'm glad that I have your show to listen to along with others who speak the same language and, as we say at our church, walk straight, act right, and tell the truth. So,
amen.
Having said that, a few months ago I called and I said, I just want to see this president go as hard to the right as the last president went with gay marriage and the rainbows at the White House and dealing with marriage. And he has done exactly that. He has gone a 180 from that guy who was there before, and I'm so grateful. I think the guy we had before almost hated America, but it was a platform for him to accomplish part of his agenda. When we voted for Donald Trump, that turned them on their heels. They didn't expect it, and
you're
I'm
right.
glad it happened. I'm
you're
glad that
right.
God is the one who's behind this whole thing. And Israel being on par with America once again, I am excited, ecstatic, because I recognize, like Gideon did when he went after the, I think, the Midianites. Well, God is using Donald Trump.
It is amazing. In fact, Jackie, it's interesting you say that because that's kind of the same conversation that I had earlier today with some evangelical leaders. I mean, I think, look, God is using this president. I mean, someone who has courage, who is standing up, and clearly, given the opposition that he is facing, and he'll be the first to tell you, the vice president has. Is that the prayers of the American people are really supporting them and holding them up. So continue to pray for this president and for this administration in the stands that they are taking. All right, just about out of time for today. Sorry, we're not going to get to the rest of the calls, but we're going to be talking a lot this week. Still a lot to come this week as I mentioned, we're going to unpack this court, this order by this judge today a little bit more in the coming days, as well as tax reform. Critical. We got to get the Johnson Amendment across the line, as well as the pro-family tax cuts. All of that going to be decided here really in the next few days. So we're going to be talking about all of that here on Washington Watch. So invite a friend to join us as well. And let me remind you as we leave, 800-225-4008. Still have some folks standing by to take your phone call if you'd like to take advantage of this matching pledge that's out there. If you want to partner with FRC, whatever you give will be doubled. 800-225-4008. Until next time, I encourage you with the words of the Apostle Paul found in Ephesians chapter 6, where he says, when you've done everything you can do, when you've prayed, when you've prepared, and when you have taken your stand, by all means, keep standing.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is a production of the Family Research Council in Washington, D.C. For more information on anything you heard today, or if you'd like to find out how you can support the ongoing efforts of the Family Research Council, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our new watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.